Good morning. Today's scripture reading will be from 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Your boasting about this is terrible. Don't you realize that this sin is like a little yeast that spreads through the whole batch of dough? Get rid of the old yeast by removing the wicked person among you. Then you will be like a fresh batch of dough made without yeast, which is what you really are. Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed for us.
Good morning. Can everybody hear me okay? Ooh. Is everybody in good health this morning? True blessings we have. God gives us blessings every day. Let's see. We can flip the screen there, Nick. What do you guys think of when you see or hear the word contagious? Disease? Sickness?
Laughter?
Something catchy. Well, a lot of times, how I viewed that growing up, I always thought it of the same, illness, more on the negative aspects. And when you hear that someone's contagious with something, or you just maybe a general illness, for example, whenever my dad wants to visit us, he says, "Is anybody there sick?" Because if there's somebody sick, he doesn't want to come visit. He doesn't want to get exposed to this. Someone might be contagious.
I think we're having a little crosstalk there.
Would you go to someone else's house if you knew they were sick? That's our humanistic response there. We don't want that. So we have these negative associations with the word, infectious, illness, virus, cold and sneezing, or maybe that negative emotional response from a past encounter. Let us have Christ come with us again in prayer before we move further. Lord, we want to thank you for all of us that are here today, that are here in good health. We want to have your Holy Spirit come and join us, that maybe your words, your voice may be heard. Put your words in my mouth and let your voice be what's heard today. In Jesus' name, amen. So you have the negative aspects there. But if you were to search that word up on Google, you would probably find association with each one of those words, but you would also find that it's something that spreads, or more the aspect that I want to focus on is a behavior that spreads from person to person. So let's clear our minds of any negative association that we may have with the word contagious. Because it's not a good place to stay where there's not positivity and clear thought, positive, healthy thinking. Let's focus on the contagiousness of the good aspects of personality here. I have this image here because I want to share with you a story. When I was in college, there was a young man that seemed to be a light in his community. He was talked about in almost every social group. He was talked about even amongst the faculty of the school. Everywhere he went, he seemed to bring this light with him, this happiness. No matter where he went, he crossed paths with people and they started smiling just to see him. Every class he went to seemed to be more interesting and livelier. He worked diligently throughout his college experience, and this brought him into many social groups with many people of all ages and from all walks of life. He had two jobs that carried him through his college experience. When his classes were done, he had a night job. And even though, with the stress of school and two full-time jobs, one part-time, one full-time, it kept him very busy. But even with all the stress of this, it never affected how his presence touched those around him. You could see the faces of his coworkers change. Whatever was occupying their mind throughout until he showed up, he comes through the door, and this smile appears in this shining in their eyes that wasn't there before, just because of this person being in their influence or circle. He brought liveliness to the mundane. This image I put just so you think of him like this magnet, and the people were just attracted to him. This was a magnetic personality of sort, or if you want to think of it, it's just his contagiousness of his character. Now, if we were to look away from this story to the Bible, I put a few scriptures up here. We're not going to turn there unless you want to. You can search these later. Maybe you know these stories, or maybe you want to search for the link here. But we have the situation of the leprosy, where Christ touched him and healed him of a disease that everybody said, stay away, don't come near. It was strict quarantine. Then you have here in Mark 5, the chronic bleeding of the woman who, just touching his garment, was made whole. In Luke, we have the tax collector. Zacchaeus's encounter with Christ left him changed. And in Mark, we have the demon-possessed man. His behavior was, in a way, very contagious. It was, nobody wanted to come near this guy for fear they would be hurt, murdered, whatever. They couldn't trust the guy. So examples of contagiousness in the Bible. This isn't our focus, though, here today. These are just other examples you can go to. In every case that Jesus interacted with their life, he didn't merely fix the symptom. He restored the marginalized to the fellowship with God and society. He met them in their contagion, demonstrating his grace was far more powerful than their uncleanness. The scriptures also warn us about the contagious nature of anxiety and doubt. In the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy 20, when Israel was to go to war, the priests were directed to send home any individuals that had fear in them so that their panic would not influence the other soldiers. But as we wanted to focus not on the negatives, on the positives here, the Bible also, conversely, holiness and faith are also contagious. The Bible illustrates that close proximity to God or righteous individuals impacts others. A contagious, bold faith can spark revival and transformation in an entire community. So let us turn to our text of study here. We're looking at the story in John chapter 4. We're going to review this story here. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining, the baptizing more disciples than John. Although in fact, it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the spot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan. A Samaritan woman, who can ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with the Samaritans." Jesus responded to her. He says, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who has gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman responds, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't go thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go and call your husband and come back." And the woman said, "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you are now with is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." I want to pause for a moment there, because how is this woman being treated by the people in her village? She was forced to come to the well at noontime, the hottest point of the day when nobody else was going to travel. Everybody else come and got their water at a cooler time, but because of her life choices, how she lived her life, society in the village has treated her like she's contagious, that she has to do her things at a different time. Let's continue. The woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain. But you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and as now has come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and the worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth. And the woman said, I know that the Messiah, called Jesus, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. And what did Christ reply to her? I, the one speaking to you, am he. So at every point in each one of these stories, Christ has come and he's changed things. He changes things for us as individuals. He meets us where we are. Maybe we don't have the contagion as this woman did or any of the other stories referenced, but we all have something that Christ needs to clean us from that we may go and walk in newness of life. If we continued to see how this occurrence changed the woman, jumping to verses 28 and 29, it says, then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come and see a man who told me everything I did. Could this be the Messiah? I was reading another translation that said that she ran. Can you imagine what it would be like? We're looking forward to the Messiah's arrival in this time. So much, I mean, this is what we, our life example, this is what leads us as we go through our life experience. We're looking forward to this, and it happens. Without us even really realizing it happens. And then when the light bulb clicks, it's Christ. The sheer excitement, the change of heart is beautiful. This woman had been changed in this moment. I don't know how long her conversation with Christ was, but it didn't have to be much. As she goes running back to her village, how does her run-in with Christ change the community around her? In verse 39, it says, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. Everything I ever did. Each one of us has a testimony. Each one of us has a story to tell when we met Christ. Maybe it's not a miracle how Christ did, but we all have something to tell. We all come from a different walk in life, and each one of us can touch the lives of others around us that come from a similar path. This is where we can be contagious for Christ. This is how we can reach the community But let's go back a moment to this slide. How did she return to her community after her experience with Christ? I mean, come and see what the Lord did for me. She was excited. She was ecstatic. She was, there's something in her that drew the people to her. And because of her excitement, because of what was in her, others came because they wanted what was there. And once they realized what was there, they knew where to go. You remember the story of the young man that I opened with? What do you think it is that drew people to him? Was it? His smile?
Love for others.
Love for others? Anything else?
God.
You say God. Would it surprise you if I told you that this man did not know Christ at all? This young man just lived his life for who he was. He was not allowing the perceptions that the world had about him to influence him. So you think about how people were drawn to him with this magnetic personality he had. You didn't know Christ, but the attributes, a couple of you said, what are the character traits of Christ? So maybe there's people out there that don't know Christ, but they're actually, you can see Christ in them. That's what draws people to us, is what they see in us. They don't necessarily see us, but what's in us. There's something that we have that the rest of the world doesn't have. Have you ever sat and watched people? You go out to the grocery store, you go out to the mall, you go to a park and just watch people. I found it entertaining when I was young, and one of the things I noticed was some people, when they're eating, will bring the fork to their mouth, whereas other people, when they're eating, bring their mouth to the fork. And it's just, sometimes it's just interesting. It makes you wonder. Just like this young man, he was an interesting individual. He was a very eccentric, if I might say, personality. It was just something that was noticed about him. Well, when we're living our lives, there's always somebody watching us. It could be another human being. There's always our Father in heaven watching us. We are that light that others are looking for. Or I shouldn't say we. I should say Christ in us. So let's be different and not allow how the world perceives us for our age, for our maybe we have a disease, maybe it's a disability, something that society sees you as different. It doesn't have to be that way. We can carry into our community that light that draws others. As we walk through the park downtown, what are others seeing? As we drive down the road, maybe, we're in our car, we're in our space. When someone drives past you, I generally look at the people who drive past me. Sometimes you guys, they're listening to their radio and just rocking out. It's comical sometimes, but no matter where we are, we could be in our little space, but we're still an example.
So,
when you go about in our community and you notice something about somebody, just like in college, somebody noticed this young man and it's just attraction, that's what we're seeing. We're seeing Christ in this person. And when we think of the word contagious, I'd like us to each one go away thinking of the contagiousness of Christ. That we can go into our community and show them something different. My last slide here. What do you see when you see this? Particularly the girl in the front. You see happiness. You see peace. You see someone who the world isn't touching. Let us be like this as we return to our community, to our homes, to our families, to the world. Our closing hymn is number 508.